A federal appeals court recently blocked the Environmental Protection Agency from suspending an Obama-era limit on methane emissions from new oil and gas wells. The ruling, made last week, was a blow to EPA Administrator Scott Pruitt, who has made it his mission to undo many EPA regulations. And for the most part, he's been successful. Pruitt is rapidly realizing much of President Trump's environmental agenda, having already delayed or reversed dozens of initiatives from water pollution protections to action on climate change. We're going to take a look now at Pruitt's track record so far after nearly 5 months on the job. And to help us do that, we're joined by Emily Holden, a reporter for Energy and Environment Publishing. Hi there, Emily.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Well, first of all, tell us about this latest court ruling on methane. What exactly did it do?
Well, essentially, when Administrator Pruitt came in, he moved to issue a 90-day stay for oil and gas companies to comply with an Obama-era limit on methane emissions. And the court decided that that is actually not within the authority of EPA to do under the Clean Air Act.
And is it a significant setback to Pruitt?
I think it is. I don't know that it is necessarily representative of how all his other efforts will go. But I think it is a sign that there are some things that he may want to do that the courts will disagree with.
I see. Well, so, I mean, let's take a step back and talk more broadly about how Administrator Pruitt is running the EPA. Because, of course, when he was Attorney General for Oklahoma, he famously led the charge against what he called, quote, the EPA's activist agenda. So, you know, when he became EPA Administrator then, what did he say his role would be or his mission would be for the agency?
I think his role has really been to try to erase as much of the Obama administration's work as possible. And he's begun to do that by initiating several different efforts to roll back various rules. But the key thing to keep in mind is that a lot of that will take a very long time. We'll have to go through specific legal processes and we'll face court challenges.
Well, I mean, for example, in February, President Trump issued an executive order where he instructed the members of his cabinet to, quote, look for every opportunity to alleviate unnecessary regulatory burdens placed on the American people. I mean, there are folks who look at the EPA as a major source of these, quote unquote, regulatory burdens. So, I mean, give us some more examples of what Pruitt has done to relieve those burdens.
Well, one is his office is moving to roll back the Clean Power Plan and Obama-era climate regulation for power plants. And so he is working on releasing a proposal to do that right now. And that is really central to what the U.S. has told the rest of the world previously that it would do on climate change, although we know that President Trump has said that he will exit an international agreement on climate change. Scott Pruitt has also moved to repeal and replace the Waters of the U.S. rule, which would essentially define what waters are regulated by the federal government.
Okay. Well, let's dig into both of those a little bit more. First of all, the Clean Power Plan. And of course, it was a key part of how the Obama administration envisioned the United States achieving its greenhouse gas emissions reductions goal. Here's Scott Pruitt. We've got some tape of him speaking to CNN's Jake Tapper after the United States withdrew from the Paris Climate Accord.
This is not about whether climate change is occurring or not. This is about making sure that America, as we negotiate CO2 reductions, that we do so with an America first approach. And that's why it was a bad deal for this country when it was signed. It's a bad deal today. It puts us at an economic disadvantage. The president has said unequivocally that he is committed to continue the discussions about CO2 reductions, but with America at the forefront in those discussions.
So, Emily, that's an interesting piece of tape because Pruitt is sort of waving away the question about whether climate change is occurring or not. But, I mean, what do we know about what his current stance is on the legitimacy of this major world issue?
Right. So the administration has really tried to make these conversations about regulation, about the economy and the impact on jobs and job growth. But Scott Pruitt has really questioned whether or how much humans are contributing to climate change. You said that they may be having an impact, but it's too difficult to tell, which the vast majority of the world's scientists disagree with.
Well, I mean, you've reported, though, that he's maybe even going even further than that within the EPA, right? That he's setting up, quote unquote, red teams to conduct an at-length evaluation of U.S. climate science. Just to be clear on this, so Scott Pruitt is setting up teams whose job it will be or whose mission will be to evaluate the legitimacy of climate science itself?
That's right, which is the sort of thing that federal agencies have really never done. They leave it to scientists typically to explore these issues and report back to them. And scientists have said, look, we already have our own process for ensuring that our science is correct. It's called peer review, and that's something that we have always done, and we're pretty sure about this.
What's the morale like or the feeling like within the EPA at the moment?
It's really not good, and from what I've heard, Pruitt has brought in his own political staff, and they're working pretty separately from the rest of the career staff at EPA. But the people there who have dedicated their lives to working on these issues are looking at a budget proposal from the president that would cut their funding 31%. They could see layoffs of about a quarter. And essentially, when Trump came in, he went to EPA headquarters and said, we're going to start doing things differently. We're going to listen to stakeholders. We're going to get rid of these regulatory burdens. And I think people there took that really as a slap in the face, as saying that their work has not been worth anything.
Huh. Well, so, I mean, you talked about stakeholders there. Before Scott Pruitt became EPA administrator, he himself was actually involved in, what, some 14 lawsuits against the EPA, again, as when he was in Oklahoma, oftentimes claiming that the EPA infringed on states' rights through their regulations. So we have a little bit of tape here from Scott Pruitt during his confirmation hearing in January.
We need a partnership, a true partnership, between the EPA and performing its role along with the states in performing theirs. And if we have that partnership as opposed to punishment, as opposed to uncertainty and duress that we currently see in the marketplace, I think we'll have better air, better water quality as a result.
But on the other hand, Emily, environmental advocates are pointing out that Scott Pruitt has surrounded himself, in their eyes, with industry officials and former industry lobbyists. I mean, what is the relationship that he is showing that he has with industry as administrator?
Mm-hmm. If you look at his meeting record so far, he has taken meetings with a lot of different stakeholders in various industries on different regulations that he's looking at rolling back. And if you compare that to who he's met with in the environmental world, that's not a lot of people. He's met with some public health groups and a couple of conservation groups once or twice. But it's really not like you saw under the Obama administration when they would meet really with both sides.
Hmm. Well, obviously, environmental advocates are unhappy with Scott Pruitt's tenure so far at the EPA. But on the other hand, I mean, Pruitt and his point of view does represent the point of view of a lot of other Americans. I mean, does he have support out there for what he's doing in terms of, for example, curbing regulation?
I think he does for a lot of people. For rules like the Waters of the U.S. rule that would have had a big impact on farmers, for example, that's a key constituency for the Trump administration. And I think that it really is an easy message for them to say that regulations are a big burden on economic growth. But the pushback that they're getting, you know, even from world leaders on climate, is that regulations don't have to be a big burden on economic growth if they're written correctly, that they can actually help with that. So yes, I think that's the message that they're taking to really middle America.
Mm. Now, the EPA is just under 50 years old as an agency itself. Has the EPA seen this degree of change in such a short period of time before?
I don't think so. I know that some people have said under the Reagan administration that there were a lot of similarities, but that swung back fairly quickly in the next few years. I don't think that you've seen anything, especially in terms of challenging science in the way that Pruitt plans to.
Mm. So finally, Emily, I mean, as far as you can tell, we talked about climate change, we talked about water, but what is next on Administrator Pruitt's list of priorities? Where are his efforts going to be focused?
Well, that's what's interesting. I think pretty quickly you've seen them roll out their whole playbook on all of the regulations that they want to rescind, and that will take some time. Like I've said, that has to go through a whole review process where it's published and left open for public comment. But I think the real thing to pay attention to is what's going to happen with EPA's budget. And so we've heard from some members of Congress that they disagree particularly about cutting some of the regional programs that would affect their districts. And so we'll hear a bit more from House appropriators this week on what they think EPA should be spending, and that could have a big impact.
Emily Holden is a reporter for Energy and Environment Publishing. Emily, thanks very much.
Thank you.